morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I am going to be with you for about 28 to 30 minutes. And here's why. This is our way of serving our community by introducing you, the community members, via the TV and the radio, to all those that are running for office who have responded. And I'm happy to report, as of today, all the candidates have responded to be interviewed. So that tells me a lot, tells and should tell you a lot. They're sincere about what they're doing. Today I have with me someone I've known for a very long time. He's been a longtime school committee person. He'll tell you how many years. But they said Aristotle was in his junior year of high school when he started being on a school committee. So I'm just saying. His name is Dan Elias. Dan, thank you so much for coming on this program. And I want to thank you and wish you good luck, as I do everybody who's running, because this system would not work if people didn't try and throw their hat in the ring. So good luck, and thank you for running.
Thank you. Thank you. It's important because there's, you know, each year there seems to be less and less people engage and want to put themselves out there.
Yeah. So. I'm so happy, the school committee and at large. I mean, we've got a nice field of people running. Yes. All seem to be, you know, qualified or want to be qualified to do it, want to do their share, have vision for the city and the school system. So I wish everybody good luck. I don't endorse anybody. Here's what I want to tell you. I know those people that watch the show all the time have heard this. This is an election that doesn't have any big names in it. You know, no presidents, no Congress, no government. But it's an election where our Bill and Dan and yours interests are at stake. Because these people who get elected in the school committee and the city council will be dealing with things that affect us directly. Absolutely. So I will say this. Please get out and vote. Please get out and vote. And if you don't get out and vote, you know my motto. Don't vote, don't gripe. There you go. Dan, why have you decided to run again for re-election?
You know, well, I've been asked that question many times, and especially now after, 28 years of doing this. And it's always like, when I coached, you'd have that freshman class, and then, eventually they become the sophomores and juniors and then the seniors, and you want to see them through. And that cycle just keeps repeating itself. So you never run out. And with the school committee, there's always a number of different objectives and things that I like to see through. I mean, there's some really important things coming up, and you've had a lot of, time to, dissect it and put forth a good effort, and you want to see it through. So that's kind of the way. And I still enjoy doing it. I still am very committed, and I still enjoy all the aspects of doing it.
And you've had, should we say, a tumultuous year, where some of your colleagues have said, that's it, I'm done. Yet you still come back. And I think, that's dedication. And like you said, you've been on 28 years. You've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And, and here's the thing, for all the people who go for re-election, you know what the job is. You know the time commitments. You know the sitting there at open mic and, being ridiculed and all that. So as I said to you early on, I wish you the best of luck. Thank you for running. And it's a new world out there today, Dan.
Yeah, I'm the only one left.
I know.
When you look around, there's a lot of empty chairs, coming up. And, it's sad, but it's, also it's a promise full of what's to come. And, it would have been a good time to go when everyone else is going,
Yeah.
especially after, like you said, a tumultuous year. We've had a number of relatively, easy sailing years, and this one wasn't. It's easy to go when the going's not good.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to have someone still there that has the knowledge and the experience of the past, few decades of, how we got to certain things, and the old history additive of to know where you're going, you need to know where you've been. And I think you need to have some of that on the school committee, just some experience left over. And so I'm happy to fill that role.
They call that in out in the free world and in the industrial world, institutional knowledge. And really and truly, where would if you left, where would everybody be? And but I also have to say, and I've interviewed several people running for the school. I am super impressed. I am super impressed. And I mean that from my heart. I think every one of them has great intentions, ready to do the work, dedicated. But what do
I
you?
do,
Go
yeah, I
ahead.
do feel very fortunate that I know a number of them already,
Yeah.
and I know their capabilities. And there's some really good, decent people who are going to work really hard, and I think, do really good things going forward. And so I'm happy that I actually, do know them personally, and can vouch for their characters.
And the same with the city council. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about all the candidates running for the city council. And right now, like I said, we only have one that hasn't gotten back to us. I thought we had a full house, but we still have one we're waiting on. But school committee, everybody by the end of this week, hopefully everybody will be done because the old fat bald guy, me. I'm getting really tired. What do you believe? You've got a lot of experience. What do you believe are the biggest challenges that the City of Pittsfield School Department will be facing over the next 2 years?
Well, I think there's a number of challenges. Obviously, two that or to the forefront of the middle school restructuring plan
Yeah.
and the potential building of a new school and how and what that looks like. So I think those are two real big ticket items. They're going to require a lot of attention. And but I also think beyond those two big ones, I think it's you have a number of things that need to be addressed. The teacher retention is a big one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Student discipline is another big one. A transition kind of to normal, getting back after that year to some kind of normalcy. I think that the mental health needs is going to be a big one going forward. Closing the achievement gap for low income and minorities. There's a number of things that are to, will have to be addressed.
And there was the article in the Eagle today about MCAS and a pretty abysmal article from the testing alone and like you said kind of restructuring of the elementary, I guess, is that safe to say the elementary level of the schools because it's not going to affect high school yet, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, well, it won't. It will because. What you're doing in the middle schools will be the feeder for the high schools,
Right,
and
right.
they'll be coming in better prepared, more knowledgeable, and
Yeah.
hopefully with some kind of direction as to what they want to do. So I think it will feed in, and so we'll have an impact. Also will have obviously an impact the elementary because you are, taking out the fifth and making that just an extension, to the sixth grade.
Yeah.
But obviously, the middle school is a big one. I've been around, as I mentioned, for a long time, and I've seen, how Reed struggles. Every year I go there, I go class by class, and I see that they're trying really hard, And that, you know, despite all their efforts, they're struggling. And because no matter, you know, who is there in place and no matter what they're doing, you can only get to a certain point and it becomes an unattainable goal. I think the current principal right now is very good. She's doing a very good job. And with the staff that she has there, Dennis Carr's been in there a long time. You got some really good people, but you can only get to a certain point. And I think some of those issues you're seeing at Reed are now starting to creep over to Herbert. And right now we have the ability to do something to change that drastically. Because if you don't do something, you know, at some point the state steps in and says, you know what, you had a period of time where you didn't do anything, you didn't address it. And now we're going to do it for you. We've seen that happen in Holyoke and others. So we have the ability now. That being said, there's a number of concerns by a lot of people who have legitimate concerns. So this needs to be done right and correct. And there has to be a buy-in from the public, even if they're not agreeing completely with it. There has to be that buy-in or it will fail. And there has to be certain things addressed to make this a go. Make this a go successfully.
I, not that I'm an educator or anything like that, but I will tell you, I've never really bought into the middle school experiment. I'm a product of the junior high experiment, and I, thinking back on my own pass through North Junior High, and I'm very proud of that. There was a maturing from the time I went there in the seventh grade. By the time I got to the ninth grade, that I now thinking back, when I went there, I over those 3 years I really kind of matured, and I think that got cut out. The other piece, Dan, that I would ask that because the trades today with our wonderful school at Taconic and a lot of people want to go there. What I also remember is Mr. Genet having shop when I was at North Junior High. We had shop. And what a kind of for kids that have never handled a tool, you know, what an experience that was.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, see, now you hit upon, you know, something very important of some of the potential outcomes could be of this restructuring. You're going to be able to have now specialized classes. You're going to be able to have your classes that deal with the neediest among us and our high flyers. We're going to be able to potentially have a life skills course, which has been talked about for decades. Life skills. We're going to be able to now have some vocational program, and you're going to be able to have potential pathways out of the middle schools. And you're going to be able to break up that sixth grade, eighth grade dynamic of that eighth grader infecting the sixth grader and the behavioral issues that go along with it. You know, when I talk to Bart sometimes, when I, you know, the students that we lose, one of the number one issues is bullying that we lose to Bart and the behaviors that go with it. And I think a lot of these can be corrected. And I just think there's so many possibilities with doing this if we do it correctly.
That's exactly right, and you know I certainly will support your initiatives, and as you know I watch the school committee and a lot of the subcommittee meetings because I don't have a life, and but I the only thing I would ask is please try to have them over by 8:15 because I go to bed.
Good
If reelected, how best do you think the city should deal with the challenges that you have mentioned? The restructuring, there's been a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of teamwork, committees and things like that. Now, and I say this, I've gotten a lot of plans in my career to implement, and it never goes as easy as it looks like on paper. So I guess a recommendation and a question. Do you think that the committee and the people to implement it will be ready to do it?
Well, the hope is they will be. We do have a project manager just for the specific reason to make sure that we're staying on task and we're ready to go. That being said, if we're not ready to go, you wait a year. You got to do this right. My hope is that we'll be on time and ready to go. But if not, the worst thing you do is try to start something without it being really ready. It will have disastrous results. I've seen that over the years. It'd be doomed to fail. And you don't want that. It's too big of an issue, too important. And I think some of the things that they're doing right now with the new superintendent and the cabinet and many others, they're out visiting the schools who have already undertaken this. They're visiting Westfield. They're visiting other places who've done exactly what we're doing. So, A, you could see how is it working? What were the problems? How do we address the concerns? There's a number of things that we're learning from that. And through that, now the superintendent is going to have meetings, I think, at every school. The ability for the public to be heard, their concerns to be heard and met in a public forum at every school.
Yeah, and I think it's important with a team going out that they focus on what were the stumbling blocks. What were the what you, oh, we didn't have enough buses. Well, you how many kids did you have? But in today's day and age, it's kind of a moot question because I'm not sure how many kids take the bus anymore, because you know where I live, and they start lining up, shortly around 2 o'clock for the kids getting out of Herberg. But that's very good. I'm glad they're doing that. This new superintendent, I'll have to reach out and try to get her on for an interview, because like you said, this is a huge endeavor.
Please invite her on. She's off and running. She's really, I drive by sometimes later in the evening and I see her car still there with some others. So putting a lot of time into trying to do it the right, correct way. But I think you would, greatly benefit the community as well to have her on.
I think so. I think hearing from her the plan and others, but if we
And
go
see, yeah, I
forward.
did want to mention one thing before I forget is that was one thing I was really, waiting to see. We had Joe Curtis that was spearheading this effort. This was his idea, and he did a lot to get us to this point. But even though there's a lot of people that are for it, there's a lot of people who are not. They have a lot of concerns. And so it was interesting for me to see, without having any dialogue and just kind of waiting until she got her feet wet and got acclimated to the position, to see what her viewpoint would be. And she came to the same conclusion that this is something that really needs to be done. So that reassured me that we were on the right path.
I think if I may make a suggestion to the school committee, transparency about this whole thing. Get it in writing, or have the guys and gals over at WTBR do a document, not a documentary, but a show and tell kind of thing. And videotape it like at a school, what people are asking real questions. And because it's like a big deal. And some people, and I don't mean this to sound negative or anything, but some people are making it, yes, it is a big deal, but it's not insurmountable. And is in my humble opinion, and I admit I'm not an educator, administrator, but in my humble opinion, it has to be done. I've never been a proponent of the middle schools.
I mean, I just, like I said earlier, I've just seen them struggle and I've seen a number of different people with a number of different possible, possibilities there. And it always comes out to be pretty much the same result. And it's just not attainable in its current fashion. And again, some of those issues are starting to creep over to Herberg. But I think you're absolutely right, 100%. That this needs to be fully vetted before the public, because that's how you get your buy-in. You know, if you're at every single school and you give people a chance to be heard, even if they're not for it, you may be able to address some of their concerns. You may be able to find answers for some of those concerns, but you're at least giving them the opportunity to be heard. And then also, we need to do at some point a much better job of really selling what the possibilities of this could be. The many positive aspects,
Exactly.
we're not really there yet,
No.
and that needs to be, done, because that could be part of your buy-in there. If people start to realize, well, I didn't know this could happen, or I didn't know this could happen, or I didn't know this was a possibility, they change their tune a little bit with information.
And
If
I'm
you take the time.
the process I would use, who am I to tell you, but the process I would use, because I've had to do stuff in several countries like this, not just this country. Start with a presentation addressing all the hit issues, all the stuff you're hearing on the street. They don't have enough buses. They're not going to have enough teachers. The classrooms are going to be too, whatever you're hearing, hit
Yeah.
those first.
And for as far as I know, and I've had quite an extensive conversation with her, and that is going to be her plan going forward with the rest of
Good.
us. And that she's trying now to gauge the information that she's getting from other districts and be able to say, you know what? These were the concerns in other areas, and this is how they address them. This is how they didn't address them, or
All
this is
right.
where the outcomes. You're going to have factual information to be able to give the people.
Yeah, that's so cool. I mean, to me, that's a, it appears as though the existing committee and the new superintendent and all the team she's put together, of whom I have the utmost respect for Tammy Gage and Dr. Bishop and all, and I'll forget people, but most people know at my age, I forget where I parked the car. So, but there's so many good people involved in this that I know they'll come out. Dan, what do you find the most challenging part of being a school committee member?
Well, two things come to mind. The first being, budget time. And I think, there's always the unknowns. And especially, I think, coming up for the next couple of years, because of many of the dynamics in play, I think that is going to be a real concern.
Yeah.
And I think that's always a tough one when it comes to budget time. But the other big one is addressing false information in the
Oh.
social media sphere. I think, when I look sometimes, I say, geez, I know that's factually not correct, or I know that's, inconsistent. But people are reading it and they're believing it.
Yeah.
And I think that's the hardest thing, is what the in that social media world, the Facebook that we live in, there's no real fact checkers.
No.
And that's the hardest thing to combat.
And there are those people, and I happen to, when you mentioned it, I happen to think of one. Well, it was on the internet, and this person, if it was on the internet, it's gospel.
Yeah.
What's the most rewarding part of your job?
Oh, well, there's many, because I do enjoy, a lot of aspects of it. And I love the visits to the schools that I do. I always try to be extremely visible. But I think if you're asking me to pinpoint one, I think it's in the addressing people's concerns, getting answers for them, trying to help them. When I go to the schools, I take the opportunity to have a lot of one-on-one conversations. And because I think they trust me, and then I'm not going to go back and say so-and-so said this or so-and-so did that. They're able to be really honest with me, and then I can get some information for them or address some of their concerns. And when I do that, it makes me feel like I had, in some small way, a part for the better, and being able to do that.
Again, what you've been through, the year you've been through, and you're staying with it, I applaud you for keeping your hat in the ring, and being the person you are. Dan, you got about, I'm going to tell you, 4 minutes to tell the whole world that's watching this program why they should vote Dan Elias for school committee.
Well, I think they can expect, pretty much the same that I've always done. I don't just run now, I run the whole year long. This is the most uncomfortable time for me, is this time. But all year round, I'm doing the same thing. I'm visiting the schools. If you look at my Facebook, you'll see a number of different posts, trying to highlight some of the different things. And again, I run all year long. I'm very visible. I'm committed. I always speak my mind. You know, I'm independent. I ask nothing of anyone. This is the reason why I've never wanted to be or accepted being the chair, because I want to be able to be independent and be a no vote or a yes vote when I want, and you know, to stay independent, you know, and being in the, but being independent, I stay friendly with everyone, you know, and when I differ with them, I differ with respect.
Yeah.
There's more than one way to get to Boston, you know, and I think you can get to the same point just by offering a little common decency towards other people. And I can't be that other way, and I'm not going to be that. So I'm going to be the way that I've been, just kind of just trying to be decent with people and get into a better place by some collaboration and that decency. And again, you know, I'm the only one left with some experience and knowledge of the past. You know, I have 28 years of it now. And I think that's important.
Yeah.
So, you know, I ask, you know, for one of the six votes,
Well,
please.
and now that you brought it up, may I broach this question?
Sure.
If nominated, would you accept and voted, would you accept the chairperson's job?
No. And I've been asked that a number of times. And I've been completely honest in that. I would not.
Okay.
It is not me. I've had the opportunity,
Oh,
you know, three or four times to be the chair,
I know. Yeah.
and I've refused. And I just, you know, Kathy Yan always tries to talk me into it, you know, and it's just not me. I want to be that one yes or no vote if I want to. And I think when you're the chair, it makes you a little more political, and you have to find a consensus on a vote sometimes. And I just, it's just not me. I'd rather not be there than have to be put in a position to do that, because, you know, I try to stay friendly with everyone. And I think that I can get some things accomplished by being able to do that. I don't need the power of that chair, and I don't want to lose that independent, you know, aspect that I have. And I, you know, I mentioned earlier, when I go to a school, you know, teachers are willing to talk to me, and willing to talk to me in an honest fashion and tell me exactly what they're thinking. If I were the chair, I think that would probably end, and I would lose that valuable piece that I can bring.
And like you said, it doesn't fit you because of the way you operate, and that's an honest answer. It really is. I know you, known you forever. That's you. I watch you in the school
Thank you.
committee meetings too, and you're attentive, but you're not overbearing, I guess is the way, you know what I mean? But again, to all the people that are listening or watching this program, both Dan and I and everybody running, I think it's safe to say, we want you to vote. We want you to get out to the polls. You still have time to register and do all that. Michelle Benjamin and the city clerk's office, spectacular. Just get down there to walk you through it. It's not a big deal. And at the end of the day, you can say what you voted. Maybe you didn't win. Maybe your guy or gal didn't win, but at least you went in and you threw the pitch. Maybe they hit it. Maybe they didn't. That's life at the big city. Dan Elias, as I said to you in the very beginning, thank you for running. Good luck. And if you win, you got a tough year ahead of you, but it isn't your first tough year. Be well, and
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
you bet. Thank you, Dan, for being on this program, and thanks again for running. Bye bye. And
Thank
folks,
you.
don't forget
Thank
what I
you.
told you. You don't
Appreciate it.
vote, don't
Good
write.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM, Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
We all know WTBR is great to listen to on 89.7 FM, but did you know that you can listen to WTBR just about anywhere? We've got a web stream, and it's easy to use. Go to WTBRFM.com on your computer and click play. You can use the TuneIn app on your smartphone and connect it to your car's sound system. Or you can use your smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, play WTBRFM, and there's your community radio station. WTBR, for the love of radio.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. And again, we are interviewing candidates for the office of either city council or school committee. And as I will say to Catherine, Kathy, I'm sorry. Thank you for running, and good luck. It's really refreshing to see all the people in these, well, should I say, kind of turbulent times, running for office. So, I wish you the best of luck.
I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now let's take a moment and introduce yourself to my listening and viewing audience.
Perfect. Hi, I'm Kathy Moody. I am running for Ward 7 City Council. I grew up here in Pittsfield in Ward 7, graduated from Taconic in 92. So let's see. And then I graduated from MCLA in 2013 with a BS in biology.
Wow.
Right now, I am an engineer for the Department of Defense. And I also, in my spare time, help run the Giving Garden, which is on Valentine Road.
Yep.
So we grow produce and eggs, and we donate them to local meal sites and food banks and places that need help.
Well, that's great. Yeah, no, that's a great endeavor. That really is, for especially for folks who need it, you know. We've heard all these things about Pittsfield not, you know, being a food vegetable desert and all this kind of, but there's so many people like yourselves out doing that. I applaud you for that. I really do.
Appreciate now, it.
There's the question.
I think in the 13 years that we've been doing the garden, we've donated, I want to say, around $145,000 worth of produce.
Oh, I bet.
And I think about $7,000 or $8,000 in eggs.
Wow.
So, yeah, 13 years, we've had the chickens for a couple of years, and you know, we're out doing good work.
And your chickens didn't go on strike like the other chickens did?
Not yet.
Okay.
Shh, they can hear you.
Okay. Kathy, why did you decide to run for public office? I think that to me is a very important question. And I think the viewers and listeners want to hear it. Your answers.
Why did I run? I was raised with thankfully, a great work ethic. I was raised to give back to my community, okay, to be part of my community, to give back in any way that I can. And so for me, being a public servant is part of that, serving my community. It's where I believe that my skill set can be useful. and my communication skills, my engineering background, my training in biology have taught me to do my research, to be data driven, and to make decisions based on my research and my data. You know, what's the reality out there? And that's, I think that skill set makes me particularly good for this position.
Okay.
Along with my need to do good in the world.
And you know, I just defer for a minute, because you are a scientist, you approach things scientifically, and that's a compliment, because you're, like you said, and kudos to you. I'm kind of that way, data driven. Don't tell me your idea of something. Show me what backs up your idea. And I applaud you for that. No. And we need more people, more diverse people in the arena, not just council and city council, but being on committees and volunteering like you do in this garden. I mean, that's a gold star, as the nuns used to say, for your forehead. I never got one. But
I'll give you one too if you'd like. We can trade.
Yeah, trust me. that's a conversation offline.
Fair.
I really think too, when you look at what you, I'm just going to ask you, when you sat back and said, I'm going to run for office, and here's why, and here's what I can contribute to being a ward counselor in the city, what did you come up for with answers? I mean, you, as I said, you bring a scientific background, and I've always worked with scientists in my career, and researchers, and they are data-driven people.
Yeah, one of the things that I think drives me towards this position is really, you know, we have a lot of feelings in politics today, and feelings are valid.
Yeah.
But they don't write checks, they don't balance budgets, they don't fix streets, right? And they don't make our community a safe and vibrant place to live.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah.
So while I am reading the city budget, one of the things that I do at work is I find opportunities to save money. Right. So one of my jobs is to go through contracts, see where there's fluff, cut it, make sure that I'm still delivering a product to the warfighter on time, on schedule.
Right.
Within budget, and it's what they need, right? So if I'm going through a contract, a budget, and I see things that we don't need, my recommendation is to cut them.
Okay.
Not based on feelings.
No.
Based on facts.
Yeah.
Right? The other thing that I've learned, I've lived in a few other states and a few other cities in the country, another thing that I have learned is that the struggles that Pittsfield faces, we are not an island.
No.
We have, there are towns and cities like us all over the country, and they're having the same struggles that we are, right? So the love that I have for researching has given me a broader perspective. You know, we have a problem here in Pittsfield. How are other people solving it? How are other people working on this? What have other courts said is not allowed?
Yeah.
What have other jurisdictions done that's been knocked down or held up? What can we do? You know, we don't have to reinvent the wheel here in Pittsfield. We're not an island. We are, yes, we're unique in a lot of ways. We have a lot of beautiful resources that a lot of places don't have. You know, we live, we're blessed to live in this state of Massachusetts, and there's a lot of resources that come with that, but let's take advantage of those resources and also look further out.
Yeah. And very interesting what you're saying, because I kind of try to operate on the same concept. And that is, we aren't an island, and too often we stay too parochial. Right here, these are our guardrails. Mm-hmm. God, don't look over here, don't look over there. And there are other people facing and handling and dealing with all that we're dealing with. Homelessness, old housing, not enough housing. So
crumbling infrastructure, yeah. Failing schools, opioid epidemic. You know, these things are not unique to Pittsfield.
No. Again, why reinvent the wheel? Sorry about that. Wheel. It's been a long day. Reinvent the wheel when somebody else already has solved the problem? And all we have to do
and a lot of these issues, you can't solve homelessness in one fell swoop, right?
No.
This isn't going to be solved in one fell swoop. This is going to be solved by a community coming together and figuring what can I do to help? What can the city do to help? What can services do to help? There is, what can we do? The rent is too damn high, Bill. Yeah. So what can we do to ameliorate the issue in all of the different skill sets and ways and accesses to dollars from state and federal funds? How can we do this? It has to be piecemeal, because otherwise, how do you eat an elephant, Bill?
One bite at a time.
Exactly.
Yep.
So let's do that.
Yeah.
Let's see how other people are working on it.
And there's so many other ways that we can tap, and so many other avenues we can look down to get answers. And I just addressed the homeless. I sometimes get frustrated when people don't understand. It's a multidimensional problem. It isn't just give somebody an apartment. You need to work with the person first. But a topic for when you get elected.
Exactly. I'm not an expert on it.
Oh, I'm
but
not
I
either.
Am really good at solving problems. And one of the first thing you do with a problem is break it down into its subsets.
And I think, as I said before, I think your background of the research and the problem solving and all that, that's an asset to me for as a candidate.
Thanks.
And you're in business. And you're in a business where you have to perform every day. You have to solve problems every day. And I think people in business bring that trait with them to public service.
Well, and luckily my parents handed my work ethic to me. You know, it's something I've come by, honestly.
Well, and they must be proud of you. I don't want to get too personal, but I knew some Nagies. That was your maiden name?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Well, no, I have two names.
Okay.
You can't raise someone like me with just two regular parents.
Okay. Yeah.
So I have other parents. Okay. And so I have two last names.
Okay. Well, the reason I ask is I knew
it takes a whole village to raise this lady.
Oh, let me tell you, my village threw me out. I knew some Nagies growing up. That's the only reason I asked. I don't want to get.
Yeah. Mine are from Michigan.
Oh no, these were from the North End. I grew up in the North End of Pittsfield. So you're a North End girl too. So you're. If you were elected, would you be willing to serve as an officer or a committee chair?
Of course. I'm delighted to serve on You know, the president of the council makes those decisions.
Right.
You know, I'm delighted to serve. I should hope that with my skill sets that those skill sets will be used accordingly and to the best of their ability, of my abilities. What else do I want to say about that? You know, I have a love of reading laws.
Really?
So I'd love to serve on the Ordinance and Rules Committee. You know, I geek out on that stuff. So wherever my skill sets can best serve my city, I'm delighted to serve.
And, you know, I think that's wonderful. And I'll just say that it's wonderful that. And again, I was happy to hear you, because my next question was, is there a particular committee or committees you would want to serve on? And I guess Ordinance and Rules would be one of them.
It would, absolutely. Also, I'm really invested in our city parks.
Oh, okay.
I worked on the Springside Park master plan for 3 years.
Oh, cool.
About 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I live right next to Burbank Park. It's, you know, it was my hometown growing up. Those woods were where I can tell you the first tree I shot a squirrel over. I can tell you where, you know, I ride my horses in there all the time. I, you know, these woods are, and they should be all of our woods. And Springside Park should be all of our park. And we should all be able to use it safely and freely without hurting or harming others or the parks.
I learned to ice skate on Springside Park on the pond.
Yeah. And I learned to ice skate on Anoda.
Yep, there you go. In your opinion, what do you see as the most urgent issues Pittsfield has to address?
Most urgent? I can name probably five.
Okay.
We have to figure something out with downtown, with the folks that are hanging around downtown and soiling our downtown doorways and other public areas. We have to deal with that. We have to deal with it compassionately, with empathy, but also with an eye that, you know, we together own all of this.
Right.
And one small group of people can't ruin it for the many. So how do we do that with compassion, with empathy, and while also protecting areas that not only serve our community as a shopping area, as a place to go see movies and have nice dinners, but also as an area that boosts our tax income?
Yeah.
Right? Downtown businesses pay a ton of business taxes.
They do.
And they deserve our support.
And I think it, to accentuate that a little bit, those businesses, as you say, pay a lot of taxes. But if we don't work to clean up North Street, nobody's going to shop there. And if they don't shop there,
it's the broken window theory, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the broken window theory.
Yeah.
So if it looks trashy, then people who don't want to go to trashy places won't go there at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it just becomes more trashy. We have to support our downtown area.
Yep. And local businesses, local people, they're not the big stores that have $1 billion if they have a bad month. They have a line of credit that's like a rubber band. They shrink it and they stretch it and they shrink it. I know because my wife and I ran a store on North Street and moved out to the Allendale Shopping Center because it just started to get too much to manage.
No kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah. My teacher's closet years ago. It's where.
Oh, yeah. I remember that store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we moved out to Underground in Allendale. I mean, once or twice a week, you had a confrontation with somebody coming in, shoplifting or, you know, or just coming in. And, you know, I didn't mind if they came in to get warm, but they couldn't camp there, you know.
Right.
And they and some of them sure. came in with their Burger King and all that. So it was
And it's compassion and empathy, right?
Yeah, yeah, but it's also a business. And you know, we had moms with little kids, and anyhow, I don't want to go down.
You have to,
I agree with you. North Street is an issue. Any others to come to mind?
I know that as a ward counselor, I can't control what happens in our schools. And I also know that I have some budget control.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of my biggest pet peeves is that our middle schools need so much help.
Yeah.
They need so much help. And I have worked as a substitute teacher in the middle schools. I know how much help they need, and they need help. And it's not the teacher's fault.
No.
They're out there, they're busting hump every day, loving on kids that are difficult. They deserve all the kudos. We have to find ways to raise the status of our local school system.
I don't disagree. And I understand if you don't know. What do you think about the potential restructuring? And I don't know how much you, I don't know that much about it. So, but I do know this, I've never been a supporter of middle schools. And I'll tell you why. I went to North Junior High.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah. I went in.
Still traumatized by my experience there.
Off air, I'll tell you what a couple of the teachers called it when I was there. But I saw how I transformed from a seventh grader in September to a ninth grader in June.
Those 2 years, those 3 years, so they're 6 through 8 right now, right?
Yeah.
That's decades.
Yes.
For an 11 to 14 year old child. I mean, the amount of growth that a human being goes through in that age span is incredible.
I think so. And so, what you as a counselor, you're going to be asked to look at because the school committee is by statute responsible, you guys still oversee that budget. So, mm-hmm. But I know what you're saying, and it's a massive endeavor they're trying to do. And I, from what I know about it, I'm at the point it's worth a try because we know what isn't working.
That's exactly what I was going to say. At this point, we know that what we're doing right now is not working by any standard. It's not working, right? So show me why and how you think this is going to be a better solution. Let's talk about it, right? Yep. And if this is truly the best solution, let's do it. There are small cities like us all over the country. And I know one of the issues is, you know, the bus timing. If somebody lives way out on Mountain Drive and they have to go to, you know, to Reed, that's a longer time on the bus. We've got to figure that out. What we're doing right now doesn't work. Let's fix it.
Yeah.
So, change is hard. It's difficult to get used to. Something's got to give.
I love Pittsfield. I came back. I'm retired here. My wife was a 41-year school teacher, not all in Pittsfield, but anyhow, we came back here. But I will tell you, Pittsfield doesn't do change well. And if you don't believe me, think of what they went through to put the toters in. I mean, they built Rome quicker than those toters got hired.
I mean, that fight broke friendships that had lasted for decades.
I know.
You know, and that is just such, man, it's really a bummer.
Yeah.
That it had to be this embittered. It had to be so brutal.
Yeah.
And so savage. What a nasty battle.
Yes, and uncalled for. I mean, I do this program, Kathy, and I may not agree with every person. I may not even like the person. But because we're Pittsfield Community Radio, Pittsfield Community Television, they're in the community. If they have a legitimate stance, not just, I don't like him and I want to be on your program. Well, I don't. But you have my, I try to treat everybody with respect. And, we can disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable. And
Correct.
that's kind of my ethos. There's a lot of people I don't, well, not a lot of people, 4 or 5,000, but no, I'm only kidding. One of the questions that I always ask people running for their first term, how many hours a week do you think you're going to have to dedicate to this job?
Well, a city council meeting is just what, 2 to 4 hours? Every other week. So that's 2 hours a week, right? Reading the packet is another 2 hours.
Or
Doing
more.
research for that or more. So that's 6 hours per city council meeting right there. And then there's phone calls and there's research and there's meeting with departments to figure out if, if the neighbor down the street wants a stop sign there. How do I help her? How do we do that study? How do we make that happen? So that's writing up the paperwork, submitting it to the agenda. That's meeting with the, traffic control commission. Where can, is this allowed? Is it legal? How do we do this? If this isn't, how do we then help this woman who's having an issue on her street? So I imagine that we're probably looking about 12 hours a week
I think
on
that's
a
good.
regular week, right?
Then you got
And
committee
so,
meetings and stuff like that too. If you chair a committee, that's preparation. So I think that's a good estimate to start.
right, plus there's committees. So you're talking, probably 15 hours, 20 hours a week.
I think.
And I think the city council pays $8,000 a year.
Whoa.
So, you do the math, you're making about $5 an hour, maybe eight. It's not for the money.
No, it's not. And like I tell everybody who and like I do this isn't being a public official, but I'm in the public eye. And one of the things I found out early on is you better develop the skin of an armadillo. That's because
Yeah.
it's just again I before I'm going to give you about 4 minutes to tell the people why they should vote for Kathy.
Yeah, that's
But before I do, thank you for coming on this program. Thank you for running. If you get elected, I'll be reaching out for you to come back on the program to talk about current issues of the
well,
day.
hot diggity. I hope you get to call me back.
Oh, I do too. But and I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks so much, Bill.
I really do. So now, without further ado, Kathy, tell us about yourself. Why should the people of Pittsfield Ward, I got it right here, 7, why Ward 7 should elect Cassie?
The reasons that I'm asking for Ward 7 to vote for me and the things that I believe I bring to the table is I'll pick up all the phone calls. I'll answer all the Facebook messages and the emails. I'll be there and I'll follow up with whatever it is. I'll do the homework, I'll do the research. And, being a ward counselor is about constituent services. When somebody calls you, they need help. It's intimidating. I've had to call my city councilor. It's intimidating to ask for help. And it's important to be available, transparent. It's important to tell it like it is. So what I promise to do is I promise to be there to answer the phone calls, to answer the messages, the emails, whatever, however we need to communicate. I don't care what's best for you. Let's do that, right? the other thing is that I promise to do my homework. You know, I'm research driven, I'm data driven, and I love to look for outside perspectives on solving local problems. There's another thing that I bring to the table is I love debating, and I love debating calmly and with my data and facts in front of me, right? So if I disagree with you, I promise to tell you, I'm going to say, you know, I disagree. Here's why.
Yeah.
Here's why I disagree. And here's why I'm going to keep doing this way. Now, the great part is that we can still be friends after a disagreement, right? I'm not going to get all ticked off and say, well, that guy doesn't like my vote, so I'm not calling him back about his stop sign on the street. That's not how this should work. And it's not how it will work with me. I'll be at city council meetings, right? I'll plan my time off around city council meetings.
Good.
Yeah, it's important. It's a job and I take it seriously. You know, so we can agree to disagree. We'll still be friends. The other thing that I do is sometimes to my own detriment is I'm going to say when I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I'm wrong. You know, I made a mistake. I was incorrect over there. That was wrong. I'll do it. I'll apologize. I'm going to learn from it and move on. And if I'm in the middle of a disagreement and someone's making a better case than the one that I have, more than willing to have my mind changed.
Well, I really and truly want to thank you for running. I wish you the best of luck. And for the voters out there, get out and vote on this election. This one has more direct influence on our lives than any of the others. We're electing a city council and a school committee. Think about it. And don't tell me you don't have time. Michelle Benjamin and the whole crew down there have made it so easy to vote. There's no excuse. And I will leave you with this. There's a lot of flags in these cemeteries, and underneath them is a soul who at one point in time signed on the dotted line to give their life so you could vote. So get out and vote. Kathy, the best of luck. And I hope I'll be calling.
Thanks so much, Bill.
You bet.
Pleasure talking with you. Be well.
Be well, too. Thank you for running.